Just to give you an example of violence from the KKK and what they stood for, a friend of mine, this was around 1976, in his hometown in Florida, a group of kids that went to school with him, they found out where he lived, and they burned a cross in his yard because he dated white women. And the rumor had it that he was the type of person that believed in an eye for an eye. And these kids were, they wasn't kids, they were adults. They thought they were just, you know, trying to scare the person. But he didn't take it that way because, you know, they fired an arrow at his home. And, you know, someone could have got hurt because the arrow landed approximately 3 inches from the window. And if it had gone through the window, it could have killed someone in the home. But word spread very fast in a small town. He found out who's involved and who fired the arrow. And needless to say, each and every one of those individuals left town in a very quick hurry. The police were involved, but all the evidence was suppressed. And as the years pass, come to find out, people in the town knew about the incident, and they also knew the people involved. But I think the policeman transferred shortly after that. So I feel it was probably a conspiracy because the evidence, the arrow, was never turned over to the proper authorities to investigate. So the case was an open shut case, and so therefore my friend took matters into his own hands.
So you feel like the law didn't, blacks more than they did the whites?
Well, that's still today. Your communities, your upper class communities, get the majority of the protection from the police. Your lower class sections, which is comprised mostly of blacks and Hispanics, the police rarely go into those neighborhoods. At least they try not to unless they really have to. And that's only when they're going to bust up a drug ring or take someone to jail or cover a murder that has been committed in that area. And although we know that the drugs, the majority is labeled against the blacks, the Hispanics, but, and it's not fair because I don't think it's the blacks that's bringing the drugs into this country. I don't think it's the blacks that's supplying the blacks all the drugs. And it was interesting because there was an issue on television a few months ago about this same thing. It's a known fact that the majority of drug users in this country, they are white, upper middle class, and rich. So Are the cops looking the other way?
No, I understand. I guess you were around 18 that you left Florida to take a job in New Jersey. Now, leaving from the South and going to the North, would you say that the living differences as far as the way of life was different, you know?
Oh, no. I got to Newark, New Jersey. I don't know if you recall, but back in the early 70s, there was a very big riot in Newark, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And the street I lived on, yeah, I never knew what a ghetto or a slum was, but the place where I was living, visiting relatives, it was actually that,
mm-hmm.
a ghetto. And it was right off this main street where the riots occurred, and it's called Springfield Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I lived on Camden Street.
Mm-hmm.
It was not as dangerous as it is today. You could walk out in the streets, you can be out at night and not get shot. There were no drive-by shootings like you see today on television, but crimes were committed. They were being committed. And yes, I'd have to say living conditions were more harsh than in the South.
But would you say it was because it was a larger city that you moved? Because, you know, living in the larger city?
Yes, more heavily populated, congested. You look at the South, you have the majority of the people own their property. They own their land. In a city like Newark, New Jersey, you have people back during that time, they were living in high-rise apartments, torn, you know, beat-up buildings and stuff like that. You would really have to be well off financially to afford a house in Newark, New Jersey, or New York. But getting back to my second most historical event, I would have to say when the Vietnam War ended, it was really not considered a war, but a conflict. At the time I was in the military, I joined originally in 1973, and I did, as I stated, I thought I would have to go eventually to Vietnam. But in 1975, when we heard that the Vietnam crisis was over and done with, and that our boys was coming home, they were going home, it was just a joyous moment. I mean, I was happy. I felt good about being in the military. I didn't feel an imminent threat against me. I didn't think I was going to go into a foreign land and die. So that was a great moment, a big sigh of relief.
If you were president for the day, what changes would you make in the United States?
Well, if I was president for today, I'd cut out welfare.
Why so?
Because I've seen women on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying all women are on welfare. You got men on welfare too.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen women where women would get pregnant just to get more money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a waste.